is love or hate? You know, some people say that hate's a strong word, and it is. But so is love. Most of us would like to consider ourselves as a loving person, not a hateful person. But are we? Many times we do have an unrealistic perspective of ourselves. Right? Solomon points that out. He says that everybody is right in their own eyes, but the Lord tries the hearts, right? So all of us are right, we think. Probably all of us feel like we're a loving person. And there may be times that we're not.
True.
In fact, we may be showing hatred more often than we think. I think the best way to find out is to compare our action and our words with God's word, not other people. We can always find somebody that acts worse than we do that we can compare ourselves with and feel pretty good about ourselves.
Right.
But that's not the point.
No.
We should never really compare ourselves with other people. We should compare ourselves with Jesus.
Amen.
And we will always fall short when we do that.
Right.
But here in Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to read verse 12. Proverbs 10, 12. The Bible says, "Hatred stirreth up stripes, but love covereth all sins." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, your word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts to the heart. Lord, we need that.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, we need your word as a mirror to show us the truth about ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that tonight. Lord, help us to make change where you want us to make change.
Yes, Jesus,
Lord, I pray that you would help me to say what I should.
Grant.
Help me not to say anything I shouldn't so that I can accurately deliver your message to your people.
Yes.
I sure thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hatred stirs up stripes, as the Bible clearly puts it there. And love covers wrongdoings or overlooks it, forgives. When something doesn't go your way, are you quick to point it out? Maybe even to the very one that did something that you didn't like or said something that you didn't like. Do you regularly feel the need to correct those who frustrate you? There are times, and it's important that we recognize this, there are times when conflict needs to be addressed.
Yes.
But there are more times that it doesn't. There's things that happen to you and I that we should overlook.
Right. Amen.
That we should just simply forgive, not try to correct it. Our nature is to try to go through life problem-free. I don't like problems. Anybody like problems? None of us like problems. And the truth is, we should try to avoid the problem when we can.
Right.
But they're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these problems are orchestrated by God.
Yes.
To be in our life. Some of those problems are people with names.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, with more than just a name, with aggravating characteristics. There's a difference between lovingly pointing out someone's wrongdoing and a knee-jerk reaction of frustration because of their wrongdoing.
Yes, sir.
Even when it's necessary to address an issue, it ought to be done in love, not out of a knee-jerk reaction.
Amen.
Where we are only reacting because of frustration. That's never right. I remember doing that as a parent sometimes.
Yes.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
Because things can happen so quickly.
Yeah.
And it surprises us.
Mm-hmm.
Catches us off guard. Sometimes it causes us problems. Sometimes it causes us pain. Sometimes embarrassment. And because of it, we have a knee-jerk reaction to it. And that's not good. That's not love. That's what I'm getting at. And if it isn't love, what is it? There really isn't a middle road there. It's either one or the other. People do things regularly that aggravate us and cause us to get angry. When that happens, Solomon gives us direction in Proverbs 19:11 on what to do about that. If you want to turn there, we'll read that. Proverbs 19:11. We're talking about when somebody aggravates us. And that happens to all of us. It happens at home. It happens on the road. It happens at work. It happens at the store. It happens everywhere. When that happens, Solomon tells us here in verse 11 what to do. He said, "The discretion of a man deferreth or puts off his anger. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression."
Yes, amen.
So he's talking about two different things to do here. One of them is to put off his anger. Now remember, anger is not a sin. God gets angry.
Yes, he does.
Jesus got angry.
Yes.
He didn't sin. So anger is not a sin. But we can quickly allow it to turn into sin.
Yeah.
And many times we do.
Yes, sir.
So what he's saying here in the first part of this verse is, wait. He's not saying don't deal with it. Because, like we were talking about earlier, there are times that we need to deal with certain things.
Yes.
But that time is normally not immediately.
Amen.
Defer. Put it off. That's a good thing to do because it gives us time to breathe.
Yeah.
Come back down to reality. Come to our senses. Cool down.
Mm-hmm.
Think realistically. Then the second part of the verse says, "And it is his glory to pass over a transgression." That's when it's time to just let it go.
Amen.
It's okay. It's all right. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Not something that we need to even consider talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive.
Right.
When you and I react out of frustration, we're not showing love, we're showing hatred. We are being hateful.
Yes.
When we react out of frustration. John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another."
Yeah.
In other words, people are going to know you're a Christian by how you show love or hatred. If you're showing hatred, people aren't going to assume that you're a Christian. Many times we prove to the world that they are right. Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites.
Lord, help us.
Do I show love to others? Do all people say that my love for others replicates Jesus' love? Do the people that know me see the love of Jesus shining through? What about the people in your house? The truth is, most people tend to loosen up and show hatred.
Yeah.
More in their house than anywhere else.
God help us.
You ever wondered why God allows aggravating people to be in your life? I have. Well, He didn't allow them there. He put them there. For a reason. They do things they shouldn't. They say that things that they shouldn't. They cause you or I pain sometimes. That's aggravating. That's frustrating to us. But their sin is not as great as our reaction to it. Remember the beam and the moat? The moat in their eye is their sin. The beam in ours is our reaction to it. Many times. God's trying to mold us and to shape us to be just like Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Through the difficult circumstances that we face. So if you ever ask yourself the question, why did God put this person in my life? That's why. To make you more like Jesus. The truth is, God's using you to make somebody else more like Jesus.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Through your mistakes.
Yes. Amen.
Through your bad choices.
That's right.
Through your sin.
Yeah. Wow.
Are you letting Him shape you? Or just getting aggravated with them? Every difficulty you ever encounter is a tool in God's hand to make you more like Jesus.
That is true. Absolutely true.
Don't resist it. Ask the question, God, I'm hot again. And
yeah,
I know You're trying to do something in me.
Yes, amen.
Help me to see You.
Great.
Help me to be loving. Help me to be long suffering. Help me to be kind.
Yes.
Help me to be forgiving. So a lot of times we resist the Holy Spirit in this very thing right here.
Right. Absolutely.
We all of a sudden become blinded to reality. The reality that God's trying to shape us. And all of a sudden our focus is on how aggravating this person is. How mean they are. How wrong they were in what they did or said. So how do we show love instead of hate? Turn to 1 Corinthians. I think the easiest way to learn that is to go to what we call the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul gives us a very vivid picture of what biblical love is. Verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love is long-suffering, and that is basically, it puts up with aggravating people without reacting.
Mm-hmm.
But love is also kind,
yes,
thoughtful, considerate,
yes,
forgiving.
Mm.
Love doesn't envy other people.
Mm-hmm.
Love doesn't brag on itself.
Amen.
Love isn't arrogant, isn't rude, isn't selfish or self-centered. When you and I are being selfish, we are not showing love, we're showing hate.
Amen.
When we're acting impatient in that long line at the bank, we're not showing love, we're showing hate. And by the way, we're showing it to the lost.
Yes.
Proving to them that they were right and that hypocrites or Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites.
Mm.
Jesus was certainly right when he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples.
Amen.
If you have love one to another. People should never hear me being rude to somebody.
Right.
Because I should never be rude to anybody.
Yeah.
People should never hear me insulting someone else through a boastful comment that I make about myself.
Mm.
Love is not easily provoked or angered. You know why we get angry a lot of times? Because something didn't go our way, which is fueled by our selfishness.
Right. God, no.
Love doesn't keep an account of wrongdoings.
Mm.
Our term for this is holding a grudge.
Mm.
I'm mad at you for that you did 10 years ago.
Mm. Lord, help us.
Paul does an excellent job here of describing love, and I'm afraid that many times I don't fit this picture.
Me either.
I'm afraid that we probably show hate more often than we think that we do.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be a loud, screaming, insultive word to show hate. Sometimes we can do it very quietly.
Yeah, true.
It's a choice that we make to either show love or to show hatred.
Mm.
So what can I do to grow so that I can show love more often than I do hate? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. That's one book over. Galatians chapter 5. Very common verse. You may have memorized it at some point. If not, I would suggest you do. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do I grow so that I can show love more often than I do hate? Paul answers that question right here in this verse. Walk in the Spirit. Look in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That battle is constant.
Yeah.
In all of us.
Yeah.
The flesh battling with the spirit.
Yes.
Who wins the battle? In you.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is whichever one you feed the most. Feed the spirit and starve the flesh. What does your flesh like? Well, my flesh, it likes sleep. My flesh likes food. My flesh likes to relax when I ought to be busy. My flesh likes to watch stuff. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I like to. In fact, if I did, I feel like I would probably be hooked on it. I can, every once in a while, I will say to Jeanette, let's watch something on TV, watch a movie or something. And I'd get so focused on that, I can't hear her talking. Sometimes. And I can sit there for 2 hours and watch that thing and then sit there and watch another 2 hour movie right after that. I like that. That's what my flesh likes. We like YouTube. We like Facebook. We like Instagram. We like a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Our flesh does.
Yeah.
What is the spirit like? Well, the spirit likes quiet Bible study and prayer, meditating on God's Word. The spirit likes for us to think about things that are pure and lovely and of good report. The Spirit also likes a quiet, loving, delayed response to those who aggravate us. The Spirit likes Bible preaching. The kind that exposes our sin.
Yes.
That's what the Spirit likes. We avoid that sometimes. So that we can enjoy our sleep. So that we can enjoy all these other things that the flesh likes. Some of the things that our flesh likes is not sin until it takes the place of what God wants for us.
Right, that's good.
Then it becomes sin.
That's right.
Sleep is not wrong. We need it. In fact, if you don't get enough of it, it's going to cause some health problems.
Yeah.
Our problem is we want more than what we need. Our problem is we don't want to get up in time to spend quality, quiet time with God. I had an unsaved person ask me the other day, who has time for that in the morning? Everyone.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's our choice.
Right.
To set the clock and not to hit the snooze.
Right, brother.
And to get up.
Amen.
I want to give you just a commercial here. A quick, real easy way to not sleep in. Put your alarm clock across the room. And don't use your phone as your alarm clock. Use a clock. One you plug into the wall so that it makes a loud racket that's irritating and put it across the room. You can't hit the snooze and enjoy it. In order to walk in the Spirit, we've got to mortify the flesh.
That's right.
We have to say no to the flesh. Put off eating food for a period of time for the purpose of gaining the ear of God. Turn off the TV and spend time with your family, as awkward as that may be. It shouldn't be, but it may be. That's okay. It'll become normal again. Leave your phone in the back room on silent when you're sitting down to eat dinner with the people that you claim to love the most. Prove it to them by turning your phone on silent and leaving it in the other room. In order to walk in the Spirit, we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You cannot straddle the fence. You cannot have both. They don't like each other. They're at war against each other. One has got to die in order for the other one to live strong. And it's our choice to feed one over the other. Do you show love all the time? Or do you show hate sometimes? I have to confess to you that I have acted in ways before in front of people that totally destroyed my opportunity to then go back to them and share Jesus with them. To them, Christianity is a bunch of hogwash. But I've also showed hate to my wife. And to a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
In order to show love, we've got to be totally unselfish. We can't wait for the thing to happen. That thing that we typically have that knee-jerk reaction to. That catapults us into a hot situation. If we wait until that happens, it's too late. We have to feed the Spirit and feed the Spirit and feed the Spirit in order for the Spirit to gain strength in us. And for the flesh to get weak.
Amen.
Because we're starving. It hurts to starve the flesh. Physically, emotionally, it hurts. We don't like that. But we like the outcome.
Amen.
So do those people that live around you. So let's show love more often than we do hate.
Amen. God help.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help me to die to the flesh. Lord, help me to feed the Spirit. Help me, Father, to dedicate time with you daily, all throughout the day. Father, help me to respond in love to those who aggravate me.
Yes, please.
Lord, help me to constantly shine a bright light for you and to be an accurate representative for Jesus. And I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to 4:7.